Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week.
This is Alan Abbey with Rabbi Beryl Wein. Rabbi, we're going to talk now about the Parsha read during Sukkot.
Right. This year, Sukkot falls on a Shabbat. And therefore, Ellen, we don't read any prescribed portion of the Torah. You read the portion of the Torah that has to do with the holidays and describes for us the holiday of Sukkot. Sukkot is it's an unusual holiday in the fact that it has so much symbolism, so many mitzvot attached to it, the etrog and the lulav and the sitting in the sukkah and the rejoicing that takes place. And it's a holiday of happiness simply because we've gone through Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment, and we've gone through Yom Kippur, the day of forgiveness, and we feel confident that the Lord has accepted our repentance and that he will help us in this coming year, and therefore we are joyful on Sukkot to be protected from all of the troubles that unfortunately life and the world bring upon us. Sukkot has the wonderful quality that we sit in a booth outside of our homes. So here in Israel, it's pretty much a pleasure. I think, I never was able to really comfortably sleep in the sukkah when I lived in the northeast of the United States because it was very cold and rainy and snowy regularly. But here, on my balcony where I have my sukkah, I sleep. It's very, very comfortable. But it's still, you're outside. You're unprotected. And that's really the idea of the sukkah, is that somehow man has to realize that no matter how many layers of protection we put upon ourselves, we really are unprotected, subject to all sorts of things that no one could imagine, the blackouts, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, missiles, all sorts of, no one can predict what's going to be. And therefore, there's a sense of powerlessness that comes with the sukkah, and that's meant to reinforce our faith.
At the same time, on Sukkot, we're commanded to be happy, Zman Simchatena, the time of our happiness.
Right. So, again, I think that, there used to be signs on the back of bumper stickers, happiness is, and, they had all sorts of endings to it. We had a hurricane in Muncie when I was there, and we had a tree in our backyard that was exactly on the border between our yard and our neighbor's yard. And the hurricane came and uprooted the tree, and it fell on my neighbor's roof, crushed the roof. And as it was falling, I called him to warn him about him. And then I said, happiness is when the tree falls on your neighbor's roof and not yours. Well, that's a pretty selfish definition of happiness. The happiness here is to know that that somehow we do have someone to rely upon. All of Jewish history has shown us that, the Lord has seen us through all of the terrible times, and not without cost, unfortunately, not without cost. But he has seen us through, 3,700 years after the first sukkah, there's Jews still building Sukkot. That says a lot. And because of that, therefore, there is an inner happiness, an inner serenity, an inner confidence, an inner self-worth that I know who I am, and therefore I'm able to face a world where I really am unprotected.
Rabbi, briefly tell us about the symbolism of the four species that are used throughout the Sukkot holiday.
Well, we have the etrog, which is the most expensive of the four species, which is a citron fruit, citrus fruit, and in the Torah it's called Pri Eitz Hadar, the beautiful, glorious fruit. It has a smell to it. It has a beautiful shape to it and beautiful color to it. And so that represents. I mean, the rabbis gave many different representations, but that represents the heart of a person, the central part of the person. And then the lulav, which is a palm branch, which stands tall and erect, is like our spine that enables us to stand up to the world. And then you have the hadassim, which give off a fragrance, but they have no taste. That represents the reputation that we have. What do people think of us? So many times in life, people think more of us than we are. That's fortunate if you're like that. Many times in life, people think less of us than we are, and that's unfortunate. But the rabbis place a great deal of worth on what people think of you. The famous Hasidic legend is that the Rebbe called in one of his Hasidim, and he said to him, "Boy, I heard in town everybody says you're a thief." He says, "Rebbe, it's not true." The Rebbe said, "It should be true yet? It's not enough that they say it? God forbid it should be true yet." So that means a lot to us. And then the aravot, the willow branches, have neither fragrance nor taste, nor really much of an appearance either. You know, they droop after a while. But that's so to speak, the regular life. You know, that's life the way it is. And if we combine it with the other beautiful things, so then it also has its place. It also has meaning. The rabbis therefore said that nothing in life is mundane. I always to tell my students in the yeshiva that the most important thing in marriage is to take out the garbage. Right? If you're not going to take, you're not willing to take out the garbage, you're going to have problems. You can talk about love and everything else. You know, it's all wonderful thoughts, but somebody's got to take out the garbage, or somebody's got to sweep up. And it's the mundane things in life that make life what it is. Now, how do you sanctify the profane? How do you make the mundane special? That is what the Torah came to do for us. Therefore, you know, we're strange people who even have a blessing we come out of the bathroom. Because in Judaism, there's nothing that's tawdry, and there's nothing that's, you know, dirty, so to speak. There's nothing. Everything is holy. It depends what you do with it. Depends how you look at it. Depends how you recognize it. So the human body is a tremendous mechanism. It's so complicated, it's beyond belief. And it works. So we have to say thank you when it works, even though we take it for granted all the time. So by putting all of this together in our hands, our heart, our spine that allows us to stand erect and be people in the world, our reputation and the mundane things of life, so then that's how we serve God. We serve God in all of these ways.
Rabbi Beryl Wein, thank you for being with us, and enjoy your night and the warm Jerusalem evenings in Sukkah.
You too. Thanks.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.